Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On March 27th, 1995, Maurizio Gucci, the global head of the international luxury brand, was entering his office in Via Palestro in Milan.
Suddenly, a man gets out of a green Renault Clio holding a gun and in the blink of an eye, shot Maurizio dead and disappeared into the streets of Milan.
Immediately after his death, rumors started swirling around his ex-wife, Patrizia Reggiani, with whom Maurizio had just gone through a long and contentious divorce.
The media was quick to dub Patrizia the Black Widow, but with a lack of concrete evidence, the case went cold.
A few years later, an anonymous caller claimed to have information about the killer of Maurizio Gucci.
Who was really responsible for the death of Maurizio Gucci?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
All right, well, Danny has a way better accent than me. Shouts out to literally studying Italian in college, but no big deal.
I feel like Dorit whenever I speak Italian, because I'm good at an R roll. Yes. I don't know if anything I'm saying, but it's all I got. It's all I can do.
I was going to say, you do better than me. I can't roll my R's, so it's very embarrassing when I try to speak Italian, because I'm like, no, I kind of like do know what this means, but I just sound like buongiorno. Like, well, I sound like Brad Pitt in Inglourious Bastards. No.
Well, you sound better than, I mean, because obviously we're talking about Gucci, the Gucci murders. You sound better than the people in the House of Gucci trailer. I feel like opening, we could have been casted.
I was going to say, I at least like know my lane and I don't try to sound Russian.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm like, because like you said before we recorded, like Lady Gaga is Italian. She brings it up in every interview. And her last name, Stephanie Germanotta.
Like, how did you fuck this up? And she literally, this is truly like my sleep paralysis demon is thinking of Lady Gaga. Go like, father, son, and House of Gucci. Like, what are you talking about?
House of Gucci.
I feel like, Gucci Oguchi is like fucking rolling over in his grave.
And he's like, am I actually Russian? He's like, did y'all do a 23andMe me and forget to like let a bitch know? Because it sounds like they're sipping borscht when they're talking.
It's so bad. I feel like they must have like paid these people so much money and like you couldn't have gotten someone who can actually do an accent. Or just don't make them have one, you know?
Or also, like, why don't you hire Italians? I mean, I get Adam Driver, Jared Leto, Lady Gaga. Those are names to call, but like, let it be in Italian. Let some subtitles go on. You know what I mean? Like, why, I thought we all were like jumping on that bandwagon, but now I guess not. Because I think
Al Pacino. That's who we got.
I do think this movie would have been much better if it was made by Italians. I don't know who was behind it, but I just know the cast is not. So here we are.
Yeah. I mean, also, I just have to say that just hire like an old overweight man. Like, don't put Jared Leto in a million prosthetics. Like, why are we doing this?
You go to like just like a Jersey strip mall, a classic Italian restaurant. You'll find a man there. You don't need
a
Jared Leto.
That exact guy.
And also, I'm sure whoever you find is not also like low key a cult leader.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm like, what is he really bringing to this role that you couldn't find on someone who already looks like this?
Exactly.
I do not get it. But anyway, I'm excited for this train wreck of a movie.
Yes. And I'm also excited for this episode that we're doing.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a shame because honestly, this case is super interesting. I feel like it has everything like fashion, glitz, glamour, a hit. I mean, all the things we love.
I didn't watch it, but this is the thing. That was Versace who.
Yes. Which we could also do an episode. What is with these fashion houses getting murdered?
It's not good for my bank account. I mean, I'm not buying anything, but like once I Googled Gucci to research, 40 minutes was spent on their home store, bought nothing, almost did. It was a close call.
Right? I mean, also, who knew that fashion was such a dangerous business?
Honestly.
I don't know.
Kelly Catrone knew.
Well, a quick history of Gucci, the brand, because I think it's kind of relevant. So,
Steph.
It was founded by Guccio Gucci after World War I in Florence, which I just have to, Guccio Gucci. Like, what? word.
Now I'm know the inspiration behind Marc Jacobs by Marc Jacobs. Gucci and Gucci. Gucci and Gucci and Firenze. Firenze, true, as they call it. I'm just saying.
Yes. And the double G's. It does make sense now, but
oh,
I feel like growing up as Gucci O Gucci could not have been easy.
Y'all either getting bullied hard or being a fashion mogul. And like, seriously, maybe both. But I just realized that's what the double G's are for. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, so at the beginning, I mean, Gucci was known for their leather products, the signature being that the very chic Gucci loafer. I feel like they're still known for a loafer.
They are. I want one so bad.
Yeah.
I'm just putting like that
$500.
Into the world.
Yep. I feel like.
I think they're like $700.
Oh, cool. I was like, that was my conservative estimate. Yeah. Well, maybe one day. But Guccio had three sons who all fought over control of the company when he died. But basically, when everything was said and done, Rodolfo Gucci, who was Maurizio's father, ended up becoming the majority shareholder. So it got passed down through his line. So then, and we'll talk about this again later, but when Rodolfo died, Maurizio inherited his stake in the company. He inherited a 50% stake. And then I feel like, as is typical in like all rich family disputes, he sued the other members of the family for the rest of the company.
Gotta love it. Gotta love
like,
it.
Like Succession. I mean, I only made it through one episode of Succession because I thought it was boring, but imagining that's the plot.
I think so. I mean, I have not seen a single episode, but it's on my list, as I like to say about every show.
There we go. Also, here's a fun fact. So that case was led by the New York City prosecutor at the time, who was the one, the only, Rudy Giuliani.
This man is a cockroach to controversy and issues. Like, he pops up in every news story. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah, I'm just, he's completely off the rails.
Him
but
and
he
Cuomo.
Didn't always used to be so off the rails.
That, yeah, he has steered more and more off the, or just becoming more prominent and pronounced as off the railness.
Yeah, for sure. And Maurizio kind of sucked at running a fashion company. The company really wasn't doing well. So he ended up selling his stake in the company in a Bahrain-based investment bank called Investcor. Inventive.
Love.
Took over. And I think we'll touch on this again, but by 1993, the company was fully sold. The Gucci family were no longer part of the ownership group. This kind of breaks my heart. That's like, I don't know why. I mean, just, it's kind of sad.
It's insane that like not even a single like part of them is in it. Because yeah. Imagine you're born with the last name Gucci and you're like,
exactly.
Oh, well, you're not, you don't know. See, your granddad fucked up hard with that type of thing.
You're like, right. Oh. Like I would be trying to milk that generational wealth for literally, I mean, how long did it get? Three generations? Come on. I know you guys.
That's actually very short.
That.
Yeah. That's short, not even
right.
Skinny Girl by Bethany Frankel will last longer than that. I swear
seriously,
to God.
Seriously. Like it was this guy's grandfather. It's not like, you know, that's like, you knew him.
You know, yeah.
Presumably.
And also, I'm like, I also get confused. I'm like, how does Gucci ever fuck up? I'm like, you have overpriced nice things that people like to buy to feel rich. I feel that is the perfect business model that would never fail.
Yes. So basically, we need to start a fashion line. I mean, we do have merch, so.
We do have merch, so.
Never mind.
Yeah. Let me get in some more designs.
Yeah. We're going to come up with some Not Another True Crime loafers.
Oh, I would wear those. Oh, we need
available on Shop Edges.
Ooh, okay, yes, into it. All right, so before we get into what we're going to get into everything, and we mentioned her for a little bit, but we're going to bring her back. Someone who goes by the name of Patrizia Reggiani.
There you go.
Lady Gaga's playing her, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is the father-son house of Gucci.
She was like Lady Gucci, but then became the Black Widow.
Lady Gucci and Lady Gaga. I will
truly.
Say, Gaga kind of looks like
She looks the part-ish, but I do feel like if we can make Jared Leto into an overweight old man, then we could have chosen anyone to play Patrizia.
Just find any girl studying abroad in Firenze, and then that would be a better operation. Yeah.
Yes.
So shout out to anyone who studied abroad in Firenze. I know you loved it. While all of this was going on, though, Maurizio was dealing with his own divorce from Miss Patrizia Reggiani. She was born to a waitress and a much older father who made his money in trucking in a small city outside Milan. Chic as fuck.
Respect.
I know, like anything that is like happens with anything in Italy, I'm like, wait, near Milan, that chic probably is like, it's probably like how we're like a suburb of Jersey's outside of the city, but I'm like, okay, Milan.
Right.
They were not very rich. Oh, no, they were very rich. Sorry. They were very rich, but not part of Milan's high society, which is sad. She was dubbed, I don't know. Like,
in this episode where we feel bad for rich people. Oh, man.
I will give a pity womp womp if the girl sends me loafers. I mean, I'm sure she can't really get any loafers now. But
probably not, but she is working for this new, like, this other, it's like a jewelry company doing some design work.
She looks
as part
cute.
Of her work release, so yeah. Maybe we'll get some gaudy necklaces.
Ooh, gaudy. Yeah, house. That's Barcelona. So she was dubbed the quote-unquote Liz Taylor of luxury labels in the 70s and 80s.
She also, like, people would remark how she looked like Liz Taylor a lot.
And the pre-Liz Taylor. I mean, I love Liz Taylor, but girl ebbed and flowed like myself. So, yeah, she was a very natural beauty, I guess we could call it. Patrizia and Mauricio met in their early 20s at a party in Milan. All of this sounds so romantic. They got married in 1972, and they had a daughter together, Alessandra.
They also had another daughter later. It was Alessandra and Allegra, I think.
Oh, Allegra. I know an Allegra. Lovely name.
Yeah, we love that.
And, like, I feel like with any rich family, the marriages never go well. Like, there's always drama that goes down. And this, notably, the drama came from Maurizio's father, Rodolfo, who was, like we said, the OG son of Guccio. He disliked Patrizia's background and strong personality. I think he also considered her, like, a social climber, just kind of, like, marrying for status, which, like...
I feel like she was a social climber, yeah. Like, not even in a derogatory way, but she started off not part of this, like, elite society, and then she kind of got her way in there, so...
Well, that's what I gotta say, honey. Sometimes social climbing is just networking with champagne, you know?
That's what
and
I'm saying. Yes.
You gotta do what you gotta fucking do.
We gotta put that on a bumper sticker.
That'll be my Gucci bell, you know? Because it's like also like social. Yeah, she wanted to be in the Gucci family. Who would not?
No, completely.
So for that part, we shout her out. We don't shout out everything she does, but that part we do. So they were really like the couple du jour, not to use a French term for this Italian family, but they were the couple of the moment. They hung out with Jackie O and the Kennedys. I mean, like, literally living kind of like the most glamorous life. They drove around New York in a car with the license plate. Maurizia.
We love a celeb couple name.
We love
Maurizia.
They almost, I want to say they might have OG'd that, like OG'd a celeb couple name, because I don't really know that many other ones.
I mean, that's definitely pre-Bennifer.
Yeah, pre-Bennifer. I was going to say Bert and Ernie, but that's just Bernie Sanders. He does kind of look like both of them.
What?
If Bert and Ernie had a child, it could have been Bernie Sanders. Hear me out. I'll stop talking about it.
In this essay, I will.
But like my essay, things started to unravel for this couple, for the Maurizias. So it all happened when Rodolfo died in 1983, and he left Maurizio his 50% stake in Gucci. Now that's some, right when I said that, your Italian poster started moving behind you. It's like Italy
it's
knows.
Oh, yeah, from my AC. Yeah.
So at this point, and I feel like this is still true, the brand was kind of overexposed. The Gigi logo was everywhere, and it started to lose some of its prestige. It kind of, you know how like every housewife has a Gigi belt? I feel like every person, like we all had the rich girl in high school who had like the Gigi belt too.
Yeah.
Maybe not high school.
I was going to say, like, every girl has the same Michael Kors purse.
Yeah. It starts to become like becomes part of a starter pack situation of like showing off you get direct deposits from your family. Shout out to all of
you. And that's going to be our reasoning for not owning anything Gucci. Like, oh, it's just too overexposed.
It's too overexposed. Yeah. Except for my sunglasses that I bought drunk and I'm still paying them off.
Oh, my God. Love it.
Yeah. So Patrizia said it was because Maurizio stopped listening to her about the brand. Mind you, remember, she was considered like a very well-versed person in branding and stuff like that. So this
she was like kind of helping out with the business a lot.
Sort of like
until Rodolfo died. And then Maurizio kind of just tried to like consolidate control.
He went from Gigi to Cici, Gucci to consolidate and control.
There we go.
So he stopped listening to her about the brand. He thought that she was meddling too much. You know, family businesses, things get murky. But don't matter that much because the marriage did not last too long. And by 1985, Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana, they were already trying. They were already trying to get a divorce, which dragged on for years. Rich divorces take time.
I mean, Patrizia wanted that money, so.
And can I say, get the coin?
I don't blame her. Like, if you marry a Gucci. I mean, first of all, I'd be keeping that last name.
Oh, yeah, I would. I would have that tattooed on me. So, according to Patrizia, Maurizio said that he was going on a business trip to Firenze, also known as Florence, one day. And get this. Just never came back. Had a messenger go to her, say like, hey, that business trip, he is actually just done with you.
Damn.
So.
Talk about the original ghosting.
That GG, Gucci ghosting. That is a very intense one right there. If you're married, I would not recommend.
Yeah, don't try this at home.
Yeah. So shockingly, the divorce was a little bit messy and a little bit contentious. In 1993, just after Maurizio has sold his final stake in Gucci for about $200 million.
Casual.
Patrizia was just given $1 million as part of the settlement, and she was not happy. I mean, I get, because I'm sure she was probably was expecting a little bit more for like maybe like a half situation also, because she helped out with a lot of the branding and kind of like made herself part of the company.
Yeah.
So she was not pleased. Gucci's lawyers proposed a $2.5 million divorce settlement plus $650,000 annually. Huh? She shot it down and got a better deal. So
yeah, I don't know what that deal was, but the Guardian like mentioned this, how she was like negotiating real tough. So she got this $1 million settlement, I guess, but they did say that she negotiated a better one. Although I don't know that she, it took a long time for her to receive it because then she went to prison.
Prison. So adding insult to injury, just a little salt on the wound, salt baying it up. During this time, Maurizio has started dating a younger model named Paola Franchi, whom he had met in Saint Moritz and was reportedly planning a wedding with. Yeesh. There's always a model with a planning of a wedding.
Yeesh, I hate to see it.
Apparently during this time.
And she was like, this has got to be like such a cliche because she was a younger model. She was like blonde, just, you know, although she did say that she really hated that she was cast by the media as this gold digger because she was like, the husband I left for Maurizio was richer than him. But like, okay.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
The gag is, I guess Maurizio was like, you thought he would be rolling in everything, not rolling in as much as these ladies.
I mean, 200 million, I'll take it. I'm not going to sniff that.
Oh, if someone was giving me $650,000 annually to be divorced from them, I would not even have thought to fight back that.
I'll take that deal.
Yeah, but apparently during this time, Patrizia started, you know, when things go south, she started toying with like, you know, the idea of like maybe debating killing her ex-husband.
I mean, like, haven't we all?
Wait, the Wendy Williams clip? Clap if you ever wanted to kill somebody. I mean, Wendy's on her side.
This woman. Literally.
In court proceedings down the road, she did say, I have to admit that for a time, I truly wanted to get rid of him. I wanted to do it, and so I was going around asking for people to do it. But my intentions ended there. A mere obsession. A mere desire. What wife has never said, I'd kill that guy?
Oh, sure. Sure, Jan. Yeah. Like, she kind of does this a lot, and I'm like, this is not the defense you think it is.
No.
Like, a good defense is not, well, who among us has not wanted to kill her husband?
Being like, come on, who hasn't gone up to strangers saying, hey, are you a hitman?
Like, seriously, I just, it's almost comical because it's like, she can't help herself.
Can't help herself.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So let's talk about this hit that Patrizia definitely did not commission.
Definitely not.
On March 27th, 1995, Maurizio was entering his office on Via Palestro in Milan, and he was shot. The gunman shot him 3 times in the back and once in the head. Oof, like a coward.
That is true.
The doorman, Giuseppe Ornato, was also shot, but he miraculously survived, and he was the only person to witness the crime. And then, like, pretty much immediately, people started suspecting Patrizia somehow did this. And she was dubbed the Dova Nera, the Black Widow, obviously.
Love that in Italian.
Beautiful.
Dova Nera.
Beautiful.
Great Iggy and Rita song, too.
We love it. So, but the only problem was, I don't even think it was a mystery so much that it was like an open secret, but there was just so little evidence that the case went cold for about 2 years. Until, also this reminds me of the Black Widow of New York, Barbara Kogan. She kind of did the same thing, but she got away with it for like 10 years or longer.
A girl had a few election cycles in between her belt.
Yeah. Patrizia should have called out Barbara, actually. I think it happened after. Oh,
they should. Yeah.
You know, she didn't do great. All the money in the world, and you can't hire a good hitman.
You know, what does money get you?
Seriously, Gucci, what can loafers. I say? But in 1997, the case blew wide open. A tip led to Reggiani's arrest, as well as that of the hitman and also 2 other people involved. So here's what went down.
Ba-bum.
On January 8th, 1997, an anonymous person called the police and said they had valuable information regarding the Gucci murder. And this is actually funny because they basically called to ask for Filippo Nini, who was the main detective on the case. And on the phone, they were like, I have one word. Gucci. And then like a truly Gucci. Dramatic status. So when he ended up meeting with the lead detective, the informant said that he was staying at a hotel in Milan and heard the porter bragging about having recruited the killer.
Mm.
And so then Filippo went down the rabbit hole and eventually found the truth. Patrizia had ordered the murder of her ex-husband. I mean, the truth that we already knew.
Shocker. Spoiler alert. Shocker. Yeah.
So remember when she said she went around asking for people to kill her husband, like real subtle?
Hey kids. Yeah.
Hey kids. Yeah. She put out like a MySpace or Craigslist ad. No. So one of those people that she asked was Giuseppina Oriema, or also known as Pina, who was a longtime friend of hers. And also Forbes noted this. That like people called her a sorceress, or she was a self-described sorceress.
Can I say one thing? If you call yourself that, I ain't gonna fight it.
Yeah.
I want no sorcery on my apartment. Being to do whatever you want to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's like, okay, here's kind of what Patrizia says, is that she says that Giuseppina didn't understand that Patrizia was just like joking and gossiping and actually went around to look for a hitman. I mean,
okay,
relatable.
In Pina's defense, how many times do people joke around being like, trying to find someone to kill my husband? You know, that's not really a marvelous Mrs. Maisel line.
I definitely feel like there's a big line between like, ugh, I want to fucking kill him, and like, hey, do you actually know anyone? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Hey, sorceress. Who you got on your Rolodex?
Yeah, I don't feel like that's gossip. So then basically Patrizia claimed, well, we'll get to this later, but Patrizia essentially claims that Pina went out and got this hitman when she didn't want it, and then essentially blackmailed Patrizia into paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of that movie Stillwater with Matt Damon that Amanda Knox just dragged, because
in
the premise of the movie, and I think this is a spoiler, but also every outlet is talking about it. But the premise of the movie is that the girl who's based on Amanda Knox actually is involved with the murder. But basically because she told someone that she wants to get rid of her roommate and they took it seriously and killed them.
I'm torn because it sounds like a good movie, but Amanda Knox directed a lot. I don't know if I should watch it. I don't know.
I think she had really valid points. So, sure. I mean, I'm also not going to go see it anyway.
No.
Let's be real. I'm not stepping into a movie theater. Also, Matt Damon is
being problematic lately.
Poor Matt Damon's daughter just in her room being like, what is happening?
Seriously. I got to write another treatise now.
I'm like, this is why like celebrities, like rich people, like they should have kids if they want to have kids. But y'all got to like, don't make your kids write treatises. Mila Kunis, Kristen Bell, bathe your children. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh my God.
Celebrities got to take it down a notch.
Yes. Okay. So where were we? Oh, yes. Okay. The Amanda, the old Stillwater excuse of I said get rid of him and she took it seriously. Classic. So apparently Pina asked the porter of a hotel in Milan, whose name was Ivano Savioni, to find a guy for a little quick murder, you know, just a casual, just a little boop.
An amuse-bouche, if you will.
Seriously. Also, like, what fucking hotels are you going to in Milan where you're just going to ask, like, I don't know, the I don't really know what a porter is, like the concierge or whoever. You're like, oh, can I get you anything for your stay? Yeah, please send up a bottle of champagne to room 402. And also, if you know any good hitmen.
Yeah, well, I think a porter is like the bellhop in a sense, because means to carry. Yeah. And that, okay, look at this coming out. And it's, I guess it kind of also reminds me of Cecil Hotel. I'm like, what the shit is going on at hotel? Yes. Like, do we have to unpack this hotel at a later date?
I know. Was it like a haunted Milan hotel?
Right.
I just, what hotel are you asking? Like, you slip the bellhop at like $5 for bringing your luggage up. And then you're like, while I have you.
Right.
You know any good murderers?
By the way, yeah.
Beatsy dubs. So the porter agreed and negotiated a price, which ended up being around 365,000. I don't know if this was lira or dollars. I think it was lira.
Anyway,
and then
that's
he recruited this other guy, Benedetto Cerullo, to do the job. I don't know who this other guy is, but I guess they were friends. So apparently Patrizia wanted Maurizio dead before his wedding. And she was also worried that if he had children with Paola, her daughters would get nothing in an inheritance. So, I mean, the clock was ticking, I suppose.
Clock was ticking. And it's also like fair, but there's length. There's like, I feel like a lawyer that could help you with that. But we're here now.
I feel like we've done so many cases where like someone gets murdered for like over a divorce. We just did that one, right? With
the wood chipper.
The wood chipper. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I just feel like losing all your assets and going to prison for life is way more expensive than a divorce.
Yeah. Tell Erica Jane that.
Seriously. And so also during this time, like while they were divorced, Patrizia would also call Maurizio and like leave these abusive messages. And this is the crazy part, because if he didn't answer, she would like send him these diatribes on a cassette tape.
You gotta hand give a round of applause when a round of applause is due. That is kind of like crazy ex-girlfriend level that I could get behind sometimes, maybe.
I mean, that is bonkers. Like, fuck a mixtape. I'm sending you a threat tape. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And in one of the tapes, she said, "The inferno for you is yet to come." Or I think another translation was, "Hell for you is yet to come." But she was pissed and she was making it known.
Oh, yes. She was making
number one tip. Don't do that if you're planning a murder.
Don't leave a literal trail of evidence.
Seriously.
Saying that hell will come for you.
Seriously. And here's what's also very funny. As the investigation continued, the authorities were kind of looking for something to incriminate Patrizia. And when they looked in her diary, which, by the way, was a Cartier diary.
Sure.
I didn't even know they made diaries.
I did not know
That's
either.
That's how not rich I am.
I'm like, did she scrawl this on a diamond?
Yeah. Yeah, just engraved on the back of her love bracelet or something. But they found she'd written the Greek word for paradise in her diary on the day of the killing. Busted.
Not looking good.
Which is funny because she was like, oh, I thought that would be a good name for my next villa.
What a rich excuse.
Seriously. But also, don't keep a diary. Again, tip number two, if you're going to commit a murder, like, don't keep a diary of it.
You gotta not even paperless post that shit. No, you gotta get rid of some things.
Yeah, you gotta lock it in your brain. Throw away the key. And this is what's even like more savage. So since Paola and Maurizio were living together at his apartment at the time of his death, and they weren't married, Patrizia had them evicted. And she did that the day after the murder. But even more savagely was that she literally got the eviction notice notarized hours after the hit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You don't mess with this girl.
You don't mess with this bitch. And then, literally. Truly. And then she moved into the apartment with her two daughters and stayed there until she was caught.
Mm-hmm.
The way that she was caught was, so the porter ended up blabbing about the murder. And this led to a sting operation in which police wiretapped everybody's phones. Patrizia, Pina, the hitman, the friend who set up the hitman, the getaway driver, tapped all their phones and they got them to talk about the hit.
Oof.
So, like I said, there was like a big trial. It was like the trial of the decade.
That also reminds me, because it would kind of reminds me of like in Varsity Blues, the doc, when they talked about like getting rich people 100%. To talk on the phone about anything is really easy because they are just so blinded by their wealth that they're like, huh, this is fine. Yeah. Because they're not actual criminals.
It reminded me of that. And the one guy who was like attempting to be smart and was like, I'm not talking about this over the phone, but it was too late because they had them already.
They already too little too late.
No, 100%. I mean, this was like the trial of the century. Patrizia maintained her innocence. She still maintains it. She admits she did pay Pina about $200,000, but she said that Pina arranged the hit all by herself and was basically threatening Patrizia if she didn't pay. But I will say that even during this trial, this bitch could not help herself. And she like literally said, but it was worth every lira. So
that don't help.
She would do this kind of stuff. She would be like, oh, but who hasn't wanted to kill their husband? But it was worth it. Like she would. Patrizia.
Stuff that does not go over well for jurors, judges, and the like.
Yeah, Patrizia. I mean, so then everybody was convicted, all five of them.
You get a sentence. Yeah.
Like they did this shit.
They all did it. And they still done it. So the aftermath of all this, Patrizia was sentenced to 26 years in prison after an appeal. When did she got out in like
2014.
Yeah. So she was also meant to pay Renato, the doorman, about 142,000 euros in restitution, but never has. I feel like she never will at this point.
She's not doing that shit.
Because she's saying that she can't because she's bankrupt, even though her daughters inherited Maurizio's million. So,
but it actually is a thing because they won't give her the money. And basically, she didn't even get her divorce settlement. Like the daughters have it and they were withholding it. And she sued them. And then a court ruled that she was owed it. But then there was appeal. I think the last I read of it was in this Forbes article was that it made its way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I feel any judge is going to side with her kids. I know.
I'm like, well, she was owed the money, but then she killed the man.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those like, what is right? What is fair?
It sounds like Taylor Swift's next song. She was owed the money, but she killed the man.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm into it. I'm into with Phoebe Bridgers because she's going to be on the new album.
There we go.
So get ready to cry, motherfuckers. The hitman was put in prison for life. I guess.
He did do it. He pulled the trigger.
He did do it. Aremena, the sorceress, Pina, was given 25 years in prison. I guess same as Patrizia, just a little, okay, seems almost fair. The same.
I feel like she did most of the heavy lifting.
She did the most, and also she was sorceress. She was occupied. I'm sure she could have occupied herself
right?
quite easily.
You're a sorceress, prison. You can't even pull off a clean hit? Come on.
Also, you can't escape prison? What's your sorcery for?
Right?
Reggiani was allowed to keep a pet ferret in prison named Bambi.
Thought that was so funny.
I don't like Italian prison. I'm like, what?
Seriously?
How did a ferret get in there?
A joke. She served 16 years. Now she's working at some like other like high end designer. She had a fucking ferret in prison.
Who? I mean, someone did sit on said ferret, and the ferret did die.
Like, I would keep a pet. I can't even keep a pet in my New York City apartment. This bitch gets a ferret in prison.
I was going to say, being in prison, being jailed up with the animal, that was just quarantine then.
That's true.
That's not prison. That's quarantine.
Oh, and this shit will last 16 years probably at this rate.
Oh, fucking actually will. In 2014, Reggiani began, like Sarah was saying, a work release program after spending 16 years in prison. She was fully released. free as long as she keeps to her parole. One of the first things she did when she was out of prison was go shopping on Via Monte Napoleone in Milan. So I don't really know where that money came.
It was like decked the fuck out. I think that's just like a big street in Milan. Like, you know, Paris, they had the Champs-Élysées, you know, this bitch was decked out in like jewels, going shopping, claiming she's bankrupt.
Yeah. She's like, I'm so broke. But in Versace, she's actually Erica Jane.
I mean, seriously.
Erica Jane did not kill her husband. Yeah. No. But yeah. She kidding her lawyers. I think her lawyers are too occupied to sue us. But you know what I mean? Just being like, I have no money. And I'm like, you have 98 Chanel bags.
Yeah, seriously.
Around this time, some paparazzi asked her why she had ordered her ex-husband to be killed. And allegedly she said, my eyesight is not so good. I didn't want to miss. Mike, motherfucking drop.
I'm like, this is the thing where I'm like, Patrizia, like, you really want us to believe that you didn't do this.
I guess now that the time is served, she's like, yeah.
I know, like, this is such OJ vibes. Like, I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how. Like, girl, you did it. We know. Everybody knows.
It's like that. It's
not a joke.
We know it. You're not okay, and it's okay.
Yeah, this was not a joke. As far as the, you know, the brand impact, this was actually really interesting because the murder happened right as Domenico De Sole and a little guy named Tom Ford were trying to revitalize the brand after like this whole Gucci family. I mean, the murder and also the family like fight in the 80s. And basically the brand like just tried to ignore the whole murder and the trial and everything and distance themselves from the family. Although I did read one report that apparently on the day that Patrizia was sentenced, the stores hung like silver handcuffs in the window, but then Gucci like refused to comment on that. I think this is for the Guardian. So I don't know if they actually did that. But in any case, I mean, Gucci, you know, they're doing great right now, living better now.
They still got lines at the doors. Yeah.
But I just feel like this case just has everything. And
I know
it's so interesting. I mean, I remember like reading a quote basically that was like, this captivated Italy because it was so dramatic and it was so high society. And like, it wasn't a mafia crime. It was just like this, like money, greed.
It's just over obsession and jealousy, like a social climate. Like it's just like every single facet of fascination,
right?
That a tabloid or a person would want to jump into this,
right? I mean, which is why I hope the movie is well done, but I don't think it's going to be very well done. Just looking at the trailer,
just kind of glancing at anything, a part of it doesn't seem that good. But happy for Lady Gaga always, I guess. That's kind of it.
Yeah, of course. I don't know that she'll be winning an Academy Award for this one.
No. But what I do know, well, she has an amazing song called Love Game. Jorge, I'm sure, has a very unthemed game for us.
Love it.
What an intro, Danny. Thank you. This case really does have it all. It's so such a cool case, and like Sarah, I do feel like the movie looks maybe like it won't really hit the mark, but let's all hope, cross our fingers, that the movie does it justice.
Let's hope like the assassin it hits the mark. Kidding.
So in today's game, we're going to dive in to the world of fashion, specifically fashion movies. Because although the House of Gucci doesn't look too promising, there are two movies that captured the world of fashion beautifully. One of them was The Devil Wears Prada.
Yes!
And
yes,
the other one is, of course, Zoolander.
So hot right now.
So today's game is called The Devil and the Zoo. And I have a series of quotes here. They're either from The Devil Wears Prada or from Zoolander.
Ooh.
It's going to be your job to tell me which quote is from which movie.
I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Up first is Sarah. Here is your quote. I should say some of these quotes, I've edited them slightly, taking out names and anything that would give
that
it
away. That makes sense.
Just for clarity. But here it is. What have you done? Nothing. You've done nothing. Nothing. And I will be a monkey's uncle if I let you ruin this for me. Because if you can't get the job done, then I will.
Sounds like something Mugatu would say. I'll go with Zoolander.
That is correct. And hey, you get an extra point for guessing the character correctly. That it was Mugatu.
That is so.
All right, Danny, this one's for you. But what if this isn't what I want? I mean, what if I don't want to live the way you live? Oh, don't be ridiculous. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants to be us.
I mean, iconic scene after France Fashion Week, Devil Wears Prada, Andy asking Meryl, Meryl saying everyone wants to be us, putting the sunglasses on.
Yes.
Seven.
2 points for Danny. That was beautiful.
All right.
Well done. All right. Next up, Sarah. You don't deserve them. I mean, you eat carbs for Christ's sake.
Ooh.
That's actually a hard one.
That is hard. I think it's Devil Wears Prada.
That is correct, Sarah. That Ooh. Is correct.
It was Emily Blunt's character.
It was Emily Blunt's character.
Oh, good job.
1 point for Sarah. All right, next up.
And 1 point for Emily Blunt. I just love her. True. She's one a comedic actress, and she doesn't get enough accolades for
actually,
that.
Actually, 50 points for Emily Blunt.
Yes!
She's in the lead.
Yay! Go, Emily!
All right, next up, a little bit of a longer one. This one's for Danny. Do you understand that the world does not revolve around you and your do whatever it takes, ruin as many people's lives, so long as you can make a name for yourself as an investigatory journalist?
Ooh. Is that Devil Wears Prada?
That is incorrect, Danny.
Oh.
No matter how many people you leave dead and bloodied and dying along the way, just so you can make a name for yourself as an investigative journalist. I love this movie.
Oh, the investigative journalist confused me because, like, what didn't she want to, like, interview, like, she janitors did. For her dream job? Yeah, and I was like, okay, why are you at Vogue?
I know, that one I thought was so cool that the both movies have, like, a wannabe journalist. Yes. In them.
You need, like, a journalist as the antagonist in these fashion movies, you know? Like, who are they afraid of?
Well, How to Lose a Guy in 7 Days.
Yes.
Is there a journalist in that one, too?
She's like a...
She's the journalist!
Yeah, she's the journalist.
Her thing, and that's her thing. She was like, I want to cover the war. They're like, try to date Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally how the movie starts.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time. I need to revisit that.
It's wild.
All right, Sarah, this one's for you. Moisture is the essence of wetness, and wetness is the essence...
It's the essence of beauty. yes, Zoolander.
That is correct.
I've seen this movie so many times.
I have not seen it in so long, and I know I really want to.
I feel like this was my personality in like eighth grade. Was just this is like before Zoolander. Memes. You just all you would do was like recite quotes. Anchorman quotes with your friends.
I know. I never loved Anchorman though. That's my hot take.
I didn't. I feel like I just liked the quotable factor, but like that's it's fair. kind of dumb.
I think movie quotes were the original memes, right?
Oh, for sure.
That is true.
Before the internet.
And you put them as away messages.
That's
kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
You put them quotes in the MSN Messenger as your little status.
Oh, simpler times.
Simpler times. All right, Danny, this one's for you.
Okay.
You think that you're too cool for school, but I have a newsflash for you, Walter Cronkite. You aren't.
Zoolander.
That is correct, Danny. Yeah. That is Zoolander.
Such a good one.
That's so good.
All right, Sarah, this one's for you. Is there some reason that my coffee isn't here? Has she died or something?
Oh, that's got to be Meryl.
That is
gotta
Meryl.
Got to be Devil Wears Prada.
That is the Devil Wears Prada.
Love it.
That is correct.
Oh, so good.
Next up, Danny. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an after-funeral party to attend.
Zoolander.
That is such a good
it's
joke.
It's so good.
Wait, it's just so perfect.
The Zoolander School for Kids Who Can't Read, or what was
yeah.
that?
Yeah, kids who can't read good and want to learn to do other stuff other good.
Oh my
I wanted
God.
To include a quote from that scene, but they're just too iconic.
They're just so much. I still just oh my God, I just want to talk about Zoolander because I just remember like it's in the computer. Oh, that's one of the quotes.
All right, Sarah, this one's for you. That's what this multi-billion-dollar industry is all about, anyway, isn't it? Inner beauty.
That's actually a tough one.
That is.
I'm going to go with Devil Wears Prada.
Sarah, you are on the money today, on fire. Woo! That is correct. And Danny, last up, the quote is, I'm hearing this and I want to hear this.
Oh, Zoolander.
No, it's the Devil Wears Prada.
Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
Oh, when they're doing the Cerulean?
It's Emily Blunt's character.
Who's
actually called Emily too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she?
She is Emily.
And that's where she met her husband.
Is it?
Isn't she married to Stanley Tucci's brother?
Oh. She's married to John Krasinski.
Right, that's what I thought.
Oh, wait.
From The Office. Is John Krasinski Stanley Tucci's brother?
That would be crazy.
Did he introduce them? There's something. Stanley Tucci married Emily Blunt's sister.
That's what it is.
There we go.
Yes, Felicity Blunt.
Love that.
That is so cute. Blunt. And Emily introduced them on the set, which is adorable.
Look at that. Well, Sarah, you have won The Devil and the Zoo. Well done. Your knowledge of Zoolander served you very well, finally.
Yes,
after all these years.
Yes. I knew this day would come.
It is happening. You can turn both left and right.
Well, thank you for Jorge for a very fun game.
Such a fun game. Now I'm just going to be on Stanley Tucci's Wikipedia for the rest of the day.
Oh,
and
same.
Thank you guys for jumping in on some Italian fun with us.
Yes, that was very fun. If you guys have any more episode suggestions, you know where to send them. Not Another True Crime on Instagram. Just DM us, or you can throw it in the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group. And while you're already on your device doing stuff, just rate, review, subscribe, and give us five stars
for House of Gucci. That'll just help us out.
I think our pronunciation was better than theirs. I'm just gonna say that. I know it's a hot take.
Maurizio, yes.
Yes.
There we go.
Gabagool. I still don't get that. I feel like that's a Jersey thing. I've never heard that before TikTok.
That's only a Jersey thing.
Really. But in any case, so follow us on all the platforms. Follow us on Instagram, Not Another True Crime. Follow me on Instagram, Sarah Lameme.
And you can follow me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
And I will Italianize this and say, actually, you should be the one to say arrivederci, because I can.
Arrivederci, ciao bella.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.